FameLab is run in Australia by the British Council and internationally by the Cheltenham Science Festival. Our finals have just been held in Fremantle. We'll hear other finalists over the next few weeks. So this is Dr. David Farmer from the Florey Institute in Melbourne, clearing his throat.
We don't have a long time together here, ladies and gentlemen, so I'd like to do something amazing with you in the time that we have. On the count of three, I would like you all to cough. Can you do that? Yes. Yeah? Ready? One, two, three. About 70% of you covered your mouths. Fantastic. Now, I bet none of you know how you did that, and if you'll permit me, I'm going to tell you. So I'm a neuroscientist, and I study the brainstem. It's a very ancient part of your brain here at the base of your skull. One of the most important things that the brainstem does is regulate your breathing. Your brainstem coordinates the muscles in your chest that you use to breathe, but it doesn't switch them on randomly, willy-nilly. It generates a rhythm, and this rhythmic activity in your breathing muscles, and we call this breathing. This rhythm in your brainstem is the reason why you go on breathing when you're not paying attention to it, when you're sleeping. Now, breathing is clearly essential for our survival, and in fact, cessation of breathing is associated with medical conditions including death. So it's surprising then that the brainstem can produce different patterns of activity in these same muscles. One of these patterns is cough. Cough is a different pattern in these muscles produced by the brainstem because it has a different purpose. The purpose of breathing is to ventilate the lungs. The purpose of cough is to get things out of the lungs when they're not supposed to be there. This transition from breathing to cough in the brainstem is what fascinates me as a neuroscientist. Now, you may not realize this. You may think a cough is a cough, but there are really two main reasons that you cough. The first reason is reflex. It has nothing to do with what's going on in your mind at the time you will cough. And this is due to sensors, cells in your windpipe, that are very, very sensitive to touch. And if you activate these sensors with something that's not supposed to be in the windpipe, like chicken parmigiana, or Lego, or anything else of that nature, that information goes straight to the brainstem and produces a cough immediately. The second reason you cough is a bit more esoteric, and it's the one you demonstrated at the start of this talk. You can cough because you feel like it. And you all know that because you all did it at the start of this talk, and I'm sure you do it all the time. I bet what you didn't know is that you did it, probably, by using your higher functions to access the part of your brainstem that produces a cough pattern and switch it on. Did anyone know that they could do that? Finally, breathing is essential for our survival. So if we sometimes stop breathing, stop using those muscles that we use to breathe in order to cough, that tells us that cough must be important for our survival. And that has implications for the other things we do with these muscles and with our brainstems. At the moment, I am using my life essential respiratory muscles and brainstem to give you a 3-minute talk about my life essential respiratory muscles and brainstem. So consider how important communication must be for human beings. Thank you very much.
Well done.
David, that was very entertaining, and I have to know if we can switch the cough on. Do you have any information about how to switch one of those really annoying tickly coughs off?
That's a great question. A lot of the papers that I read start this way. Persistent cough is the most likely reason that people in the Western world seek medical attention. Yeah, sometimes you have a tickly cough, and that tends to be inflammation in the airway. The problem with switching cough off with a drug is that quite often it's protective. Quite often if you have an airway infection, you want cough because you want to get mucus and infections out of your airway. So I've seen people in rooms at conferences argue about this, about whether you would want to turn it off or not. And yet the idea of doing it is very appealing because there's a huge market and a lot of these things are driven by pharmaceutical companies. Scientifically, yeah, but I don't know if it's a good idea.
Tell us a little bit more about the experiments that you're doing on this transition.
The experiments I'm most closely involved in with regards to the reflex pathway that we talked about. So if I can tell a very short story about this. The discovery of these sensors in your airway came about because if you're conscious in breathing, there are some things that will make you cough. Things like chili, pepper, they'll make you cough very, very reliably. If a person's asleep or anesthetized, so the anesthesia is preventing cough to some things, but not to others. The reason for that ended up being that there are actually two types of sensors in your airway. One of them detects infection and thinks inflammatory markers and makes you feel more like you want to cough, and the other is reflex. So my work was in guinea pigs, actually, because rats don't cough, you might not know, but guinea pigs do.
How do rats get by without coughing?
Is something I talk about with my boss in the pub all the time.
Is this the ultimate aim?
To make a rat cough? Rats tend to just stop breathing, or rats actually have a fantastic vomit reflex. And this is true. So I don't know why. I don't know enough about the diverging evolution of it, but it's fantastic. Thanks a lot.
Well done.
Dr. David Farmer from the Florey Institute in Melbourne at the FameLab finals in Fremantle. The questions came from judges, and they were Gillian O'Shaughnessy, ABC Local Radio, Perth. Professor Ryan Lister is a geneticist at the University of Western Australia, and Helen O'Neill heads the British Council in Australia. More FameLab next week.